sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this delightful story in our gospel today announces Jesus' first sign, according to John. And it's a sign of transformation. Oh, there's all sorts of ways to interpret this story. But mostly, it's a story of joy. Jesus is at a wedding, a celebration. And Jesus transforms it into something even better. The steward says, everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior after the guests have become drunk. But you've kept the good wine until now. Transformation. God always has the ability to make something better. And it's usually through love. Our Old Testament reading and our psalm speak of this love, the everlasting, the sustaining, the enduring love of God. Love transforms. I think you all have experiences that you can dig up from your past that talks about how love transforms. One of the experiences that I've had, this is going to come as no surprise to most of you, started with a dog. Our very first dog as parents. You see, I grew up on a farm, and dogs were meant to be outside, and they worked with cattle, and they were just dogs, right? But when you have a kindergartner and a fourth grader, dogs are family. And so we got this beagle from the shelter. Shiloh, of course, yeah, stereotypical name for a beagle. And it did not take us long after we got this dog to start making lists of things this dog was afraid of. Paper bags, plastic bags, leaves, wind, noise. And, you know, the older of the kids would write these things down. Shiloh is afraid of dot, dot, dot. And so we started becoming a quieter family. We moved with less jerkiness. Like, don't make the dog scared. We lowered our voices. We calmed down. That dog changed us. We became a quieter family. If you raised your hand, the dog would cringe, so we didn't raise our hands anymore. And she responded to us with unconditional love. Now, if a dog and some people can be changed, because that dog lived a long life and a happy life, and she trusted us, and she loved to snuggle, and she became family. If a dog and a family can be changed by love and gentleness, imagine what can happen with people, right? And that's what God's love does. The steadfast love of God, it's Hesed in Hebrew. The steadfast love of God is not a word that the Bible uses for any kind of human interaction. It's a love of God that takes care of, that sustains, like a mama bird feeding her young. And the Bible doesn't use that for human-to-human interactions. It's something so big, so encompassing. It's reserved for God's love for humankind. God's love for the world. God's love that feeds us and fills us. You know, just like we knew that that dog had been through stuff that we had no idea about, God knows all the stuff you've been through. God knows all the things that you're afraid of. And God responds with love. God responds by sending his son. In fact, that Isaiah text this morning refers to God as a bridegroom. Weddings are a common theme in the Bible about the relationship between God and God's people. It's a relationship. It's a covenant. It says, I will be yours and you will be mine. And we're going to love each other forever. But God's going to take care of you. So this very first sign in the Gospel of John, Jesus shows up at a wedding. I'm sure the Gospel writer John is thinking about the prophets. A wedding, huh? And Jesus takes care of everybody. Jesus doesn't ask anybody to repent. You repent, you get the good wine. You don't repent, you get the bad wine. Jesus' love is all encompassing. The Gospel of John is also the one where Jesus says, I came that you might have life abundant. I came that you might have joy. What is more joyful than a wedding? What is more festive, more hopeful? At a wedding, everyone is looking toward the future. We're not grumbling about the past, but we know that there is something new beginning. Jesus came that we might have new beginnings. That our old and our past and our fears can be washed away. That every day we can step into the newness of God's unconditional love. That we can be kingdom partners with God by loving our neighbors. Have you noticed? Of course you have. You read the news, you watch the news. Hate isn't making the world better. But love, one act at a time. Love does. This story of the wedding at Cana is also a reminder that when we think we are in the midst of scarcity, God says, watch me. Trust me. Nobody expected, well, Mary expected, nobody else expected that there would be any wine at that wedding anymore. You ever thrown a big party and worried about the amount of food? Kelly's nodding. We're hosting the Martin Luther King breakfast tomorrow. Will there be 100 people here? Will there be 400? We don't know. But it's going to be okay. Tomorrow's going to be okay. There will be enough. But when you think you're coming up short, let God fill in the rest. Our lesson from 1 Corinthians is about all the different spiritual gifts that God gives people. And you know what? It says you don't have to have all of them. That's why God made churches. Together, we have what it takes to do ministry by the grace of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we don't all have the same gifts, thank God. But what God gives is enough. This wedding at Cana is so much like the feeding of the 5,000. Like Elijah and the widow. There is no more oil. There is no more flour. And Elijah says, it is enough because of God. Our pews aren't packed. And it's cold out today. But God is doing ministry through you. Nobody can take that away from you. God is doing ministry through this church. And through you. Through the gifts that God has put in you. They're all different. You're all different. You've all been through different stuff. We don't even know half the things that the people sitting next to us have lived through. But God is enough. And God's will for you is abundance and joy. Claim the joy. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.